We'll continue in Hebrews today. Remember why we started this book. The Apostle Paul is teaching Jews who were born of the Spirit of God, whom God had touched, God had quickened, God had given life. They had previously, by their nationality and their tribe, worshipped under the law of service. Christ had come into the world and finished the work the Father gave him by their leadership, denying Christ and hating him, and them being born of the Spirit of God. Paul is trying to teach them and affirm to them the gospel of Christ. It was not about Moses. It was not about Abraham. It was not about Israel. It was not about the Jewish nation. It was about the Lord Jesus Christ and the people that God chose in the election of grace before the world was. For God had a people from all people, and this mystery was now being revealed unto men. The first 9-10 chapters of this speak of Christ, our great high priest, who paid the sacrifice for the sins of all of the elect of God. The angel told Joseph that Jesus would save his people from their sins. That's his people. He did not save anyone else, and there is not one left out. This was certainly a great revelation to these people. And Paul is trying to affirm that because they are being misled by those of their own nation who were seeking to draw them away and back to the law of service. We've tried to make comparisons as we go through this and compare it to today's times and the things that are taught today that would take you away from the pure grace of God. That the Son of God laid the glory of the Godhead aside, was born of a virgin in this dark, vile earth, and that he laid his life down for us and he raised it back up again for our justification, and sits at the right hand of the Majesty on high, where he forever maketh intercession for the saints of God. The glory of God has been returned unto him. What he laid aside is bestowed upon him again. The saints of God that have died and left this world are there seeing him as he is upon the throne in the glory of God, for he is the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person. And on the last day, on the day of judgment, the Son of Man, that's Christ, shall appear in his glory and gather his people, those that have their bodies in the ground and have gone to be with Christ in spirit and soul, shall be raised up and rejoined with their body, and so shall they ever be the Lord. Those children of God that are alive and remain. People tell you there won't be any children of God here. That's not what the Bible says. Those which are alive and remain shall be caught up in the air together with them. And so shall we ever be the Lord. Paul is affirming these things to these brethren among the Jews because it's the gospel. And the gospel was under attack. The truth has been under attack since Satan beguiled Eve and Adam rebelled. That's nothing new. That's why when we come to chapter 11, Paul is teaching these Jewish brethren about faith, the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, things that God by his Spirit hath written upon our heart that we know in our heart, whether we've ever been to a church service or not, whether we've ever heard the gospel preached or not, if we're born of the Spirit of God, then God hath quickened us. We have passed from death unto life, and we're born of the Spirit of God. Faith is a fruit of the Spirit of God. It is a gift to a child of God. By faith, we know the worlds were framed by the Word of God. By faith, we understand who Christ is. By faith, we understand that God has saved His people. We have that within us. Even though many times it's hidden in the depth of our soul, the darkness of our flesh, and the cares of the world try to conceal it and hide it, it's there. God placed it there. Deep down somewhere in every child of God who is born of the Spirit, faith is there. We may not walk by it. We may not live by it. But if you're born of the Spirit of God, rest assured you have faith. To those that are afraid of the word predestination, to those that are afraid of the word election, understand that if you love God, then you stand among the elect of God. For the natural man cannot love God. God has worked a work within you, given you life. Love is a fruit of the Spirit, love of God. He that loveth the brethren is born of God, cut, dried, and period. So take comfort in these things. These are the things that carry us through this troubled life. We lose loved ones. I know it's hard for a parent to lose a child. That's not the way of nature. Got two grandchildren buried across the street. That's not the way nature intended it, designed of God, but that is the way since sin by Adam entered the world, things are. The wages of sin are death, and all men must die. It hurts deeply to lose a loved one. A child to a parent is a loss. And I do believe an even greater loss in my mind would be to lose the spouse, the wife, the husband you've lived with your entire life since God brought you together, since you were married and became one as God intended when He created Adam and Eve. Faith carries us through all things in this world. God, in His infinite wisdom and glory and love, has given us faith by writing His law, that is Christ, upon our hearts. Last week, we talked about Moses. When he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. We talked about Moses when he was a full 40 years old, seeing the Egyptian smiting a Hebrew, and Moses killed him. By faith, Moses killed the Egyptian. I said last week, we're not to fight battles and kill people. We fight with the sword of the Spirit. Peter said, Lord, shall we call down fire from God out of heaven and devour them? The Lord told him, you know not what manner of spirits ye are. We are here in this world to suffer for Christ's sake. We have faith to carry us through these sufferings. We have the knowledge that Christ suffered for us. He was bruised for our iniquities. It pleased the Lord to bruise Him. He was smitten for our sins. He laid down His life for us. He suffered for us. And while we live in this world, we suffer for Him. Faith carries us through this world. It is a gift of God. Moses was born of the Spirit of God. Moses had a love of his brethren, the Hebrews. And Moses killed a man who was smiting a Hebrew. And Moses buried him in the sand. He forsook Egypt. He forsook all the power, all the riches, all the sensual, fleshly things that Satan would have provided for him in Egypt under Pharaoh. Because he was born of the Spirit of God. God loved him. God was in him. God moved upon him. You give that glory to God, and you're no different. God does the same with you. And then you have faith. He chose to suffer with the children of God. We choose to suffer today by turning aside from the world and the things of the world and the lust of the flesh and all the foolishness and sin and darkness and death in this world. We choose by the Spirit of God because God has worked it in us, and we turn away from those things and we walk by faith, choosing rather to suffer affliction for the sake of Christ. He endured, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king. Through faith, we start today. Through faith, he kept the Passover. Many people will say, and rightly so by the mind of man, Josephus, what I'm about to tell you, Josephus agrees with wholeheartedly. But you remember that Josephus was a Jew. They justified themselves by the law, by their inheritance from Moses, by their inheritance from Abraham. These are the people that hated the Christ until God touched them. Josephus would tell you that Moses instituted the Passover. If we read the scripture, we full well understand that God instituted the Passover through Moses. Moses was the vessel. Moses was the tool that God would use. We're talking about faith. We're talking about a man that God moved by faith through the fruit of the Spirit. When we get to heaven, we're not going to need grace. I tell you, when Moses and Elijah appeared there with Christ at the Mount of Transfiguration in Matthew 17, they did not have faith because they saw Christ as he is by sight. We see by faith something that we cannot physically see, something that we have a knowledge of, something which is yet to come, which is the resurrection of the dead, which is the deliverance of every child of God. We find Moses in the book of Exodus. It's called that because they were going to exit their bondage. They were going to exit Egypt. Moses had come to Pharaoh. God would humble Pharaoh through the plagues, and then God would remove his presence, his fear from Pharaoh, and Pharaoh's heart would be hardened. God came down to the last plague that he was going to put upon Pharaoh. This was not, I want you to understand this, this was not an act of desperation that God tried each and everything in every plague. God does not try, God works, okay? Romans chapter 9, about verse 22, we find where God said unto Pharaoh, "For mine own purpose have I raised thee up, that he might make his glory, that he might make his power known unto Egypt and to those in the world." And then he talks about the vessels of wrath that lead to destruction. Why would God condemn one to hell? Why would God destroy anything he created? Because sin entered into the world. The wages of sin are death. God is glorified in judging the wicked. They're left in their state of nature. God did not predestinate them to hell, but by His judgment they're sentenced to hell. Of their own works, people preach free will. There's only been one time that man had free will, and that's in Adam. And Adam chose of his own free will to rebel against God. Since that time, the natural man is under the power of Satan, and a child of God, once he's born again and has faith, is held captive by the Spirit of Christ. The Lord said to Pharaoh, Pharaoh told Moses, chapter 10, verse 28. I'll go to 27. But the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart, and he would not let them go. Let my people go. And Pharaoh said unto him, get thee from me, take heed to thyself, see my face no more, for in that day thou seest my face, thou shalt die. Pharaoh fully well intended, if he saw Moses again, to slay him. Let's think about this for just a moment. Let's understand the children of Israel were in bondage. They were slaves, and Pharaoh was the king. He was over them. I'm sure by the way they were treated, there was no love there. There was no trust there. And here's this man Moses, God sent to deliver. You stand by faith. And you realize the providence of God as we live in this evil, sinful, dark world, which appears to be, at least the darkness is manifested more every single day. I heard Sonny Powell one time make the statement. That we've grown farther and farther every day away from God since Adam transgressed. I don't know if that's true. I believe it. I can't prove that. Maybe it's just being manifested more because death was in the world then. But the point being, as we live in this world of darkness, the providence of Almighty God in Christ is with us. Moses said, thou hast spoken well. I will see thy face again no more. And the Lord said unto Moses, yet will I bring one more plague upon Pharaoh. These plagues come in the order that God set forth for them to come. Just as when God created the heaven and the earth, we see the steps, the stages. It was designed that God created the heaven and earth, and everything was made, and everything was good, and everything was perfect. It was all prepared for the last thing that man created. That was Adam from the dust of the ground, and he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And the very wife, the very woman, the precious possession that God created from the body of Adam and brought unto him. You see, God laid it out where it can be seen and understood. These plagues are laid out that they could see the glory of God, that they could see the power of God manifested in the plagues that God had placed upon the people of Egypt and the government and the king of Egypt. God does that today. If you sit back and watch, you can see them crumbling. It may not happen in our lifetime, but it will come. So many thoughts. Yet will I bring one more plague upon Pharaoh and upon Egypt. Afterwards, he will let you go hence. Remember, all of this is done for the glory of God. All of creation is for the glory of God. The day of judgment, the resurrection of the righteous, their inheritance in glory with Christ above is for the glory of God. The punishment of the wicked is for the glory of God. And Christ is the glory of God. All things were made by Him. And catch this, and for Him. When he shall let you go, he shall surely thrust you out hence altogether. This plague is going to be so severe, they're not going to allow you to leave. They're going to thrust you out. They're going to throw you out. They're going to force you to leave. He said, speak now in the ears of the people, and let every man borrow of his neighbor and of every woman of her neighbor jewels of silver, jewels of gold. And the Lord gave the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians. The spoils, and they belong to God. But we stand in Christ. We stand in the glory of God. We have the spoils of the battle. We have the knowledge of the victory. We have the understanding of the finished work of Jesus Christ. We're talking about faith. We have the understanding by faith of the finished work of Christ. We have deliverance by faith in this temporal evil world by that knowledge. And Moses said, thus saith the Lord. He's talking to Pharaoh. About midnight will I go out into the midst of Egypt. I want you to understand, the world portrays Christ as a beggar, a weakling, begging you to help him and come to him. Let me tell you again, Christ is the creator of heaven and earth. He is the power of God. He's the right hand of God. There's not an angel that God would send out to do this. God said, about midnight will I go out into the midst of Egypt. And all the firstborn in the land of Egypt shall die. From the firstborn of Pharaoh that sitteth upon his throne, for there's none so strong and powerful that they can have power over God or hide from God or escape the judgment of God. Even unto the firstborn of the maidservant that is behind the mill, and all the firstborn of beasts, not only man, but also of the beasts that were in Egypt. The firstborn would die. Now you bear in mind the firstborn of God, the only begotten one of God, the firstborn from the death, the only one who could raise himself from death, died for us. And there shall be a great cry throughout all the land of Egypt, such as there was none like it, nor shall be like it any more. I love this. I love this. Deny election. It cannot be done. Deny the power of God. It cannot be done. Scripture says the Lord is no respecter of persons. That means that God does not show favor to the rich over the poor, or to one race over another, or to one man over a woman, or a woman over a man. But you full well better believe that God has respect unto his children, for they're the elect of God. Christ died for them. They're called the body of Christ, and God has respect unto him. But against any of the children of Israel shall not a dog move his tongue against man or beast, that ye may know how that the Lord, catch that, how that the Lord doth put a difference between the Egyptians and Israel. Now we could talk about Egypt being a type of sin and depravity, and that's a fact. We could talk about Moses being a type of Christ, and that's a fact, a type of Christ. But the bottom line here is that God had respect unto his people, his people that Christ died for. And all thy servants shall come down to me and bow themselves unto me, saying, get thee out unto Moses. And all the people that follow thee, and after that I will go out. And he went out from Pharaoh in great anger. The Lord said, Moses, Pharaoh shall not hearken unto you, that my wonders, catch that my wonders may be multiplied in the land of Egypt. Job said that thunder is the voice of God. Lightning is the power of the voice of God. It manifests His wonders. Rain came because of sin. Because of the rain, God used the rain, showing His wonders, to destroy everything on the face of the earth that had the breath of life in it, except for who? His elect, those eight souls of the promised seed. The thunder, the lightning, displaying the power and the wonders of God. The power of God. Lightning stuck a transformer or something behind my house a week ago. It lit up. It made explosions. It lit up. You could see it like looking into the sun. That lightning, far brighter than that transformer became, showing the glory and power of God. The thunder roaring, the voice across the valleys, over the mountains, declaring the power of God, that His wonders may be multiplied in the land of Egypt. And Moses and Aaron did all these wonders before Pharaoh, and the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart so that he would not let the children of Israel go out of his land. Say there, brother, the Lord hardened his heart. He made him that way. The vessels of wrath fitted to destruction. They fitted themselves, primarily that's speaking of the old Jews. But my point is, God said, I create evil. How does God create evil? He removes His presence. How does God make peace? His presence is there. It's prevalent. The Bible says the devils believe and tremble. When God is near, Satan trembles. That's why we're told to draw nigh unto God. When we walk by faith, Satan trembles. People talk like Satan is chomping at the bit, waiting to have control over you in the lake of fire. Don't you ever believe that nonsense. That is the lake of fire is judgment upon Satan, his angels, and the wicked. They do not control it. Satan will not control it. They'll be bound there in everlasting fire, and he quakes and fears until that day. The Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt. This month should be the beginning of months, because that's when they would be freed. It would be the beginning of months. He told them to take to them every man a lamb. That's a young lamb. A lamb of the first year. According to the house of their fathers. A lamb for an house. That's teaching us that Christ died for every house. For all His people. That God gave to Him. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto the house take it according to the number of souls. For you see, none of that glory, none of that sacrifice, none of that blood, none of that love was wasted. Every single child of God, if it's too much for this house, then share it with this house and share it with this house. For it applied to every household of the children of God. Lamb had to be without blemish. It was perfect. It had to be a male, because God is male. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Hate to break that to people today, but that is a fact. First year. You shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats, and you shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month. And the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. The whole assembly of the elect of God killed Christ. For it was our sin that nailed Him to the tree. It was our sin for which He bore the judgment of God. And do not forget, it pleased the Lord to bruise Him. Christ was crucified in the evening. The Lamb was killed in the evening. This is the first Passover. We can go to the Gospels and we can read of the last Passover, when Christ was there and fulfilled the one and established the other. Fulfilled the law and established grace. Fulfilled the Passover and established communion. They shall take of the blood and strike it. They're not painting it. You understand that. You can read a little further. They would take the hyssop, a cleansing plant, and they would dip it in the blood. They didn't paint it. They struck it. Can you see Him being beaten with the whips, with the metal and the bone? He was beaten. They would strike it upon the doorpost. Jesus said, "I behold, I stand at the door, the doorpost. You, your heart, your person, who you are, strike it on the two side posts and on the upper doorpost of the houses, wherein they shall eat this initial Passover. And they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire and unleavened bread." Leaven is a type of sin in many places. In this place, by faith, they ate the Passover with unleavened bread because they were going to eat in haste. They were going to be delivered. Their enemy was going to thrust them out. "Leave us alone. If the children of God born of the Spirit today would walk in faith of God as is established in the Scripture by the very words of the Lord Jesus Christ, they would be wanting to thrust us out today. God said, I'll pour you out a blessing. There would not be room enough to receive it." And that's not God's fault. It's this way. It's ours. "And with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Eat not of it raw, nor sodden at all with water, but roast with fire, his head with his legs, with the pertinence thereof. And you shall let nothing of it remain in the morning. That which remaineth of it to the morning you shall burn with fire." None of it would be wasted. You'll eat it with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, your staff in your hand, your balance, your walk, your weapon, your staff. "And you shall eat it in haste," because y'all fix to leave here. God's providence is taking effect. Y'all fix to leave here. Y'all fix to be thrust out. Now we look to a time by faith of deliverance. We look to a time when the Son of Man shall appear. And we're going to be called up, and it'll be in haste. Paul said, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, blink your eye. How fast will be the resurrection? Blink your eye. In haste. "I will pass through the land of Egypt this night and will smite the firstborn of the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt will execute judgment, for I am the Lord. I am that I am," he told Moses. The eternal, without creation, self-existing, all-knowledgeable, all-power, omnipotent God in heaven. "I am the Lord, the master of all things." God gives us faith in this Lord. Why? Why would we doubt it? Moses partook of the first Passover by faith, for he knew the God that created the heaven and earth. He knew the God that sent him forth to deliver his people. Moses was not able. I'm of a slow speech. I cannot do this. Yet God is persistent, and I thank God he's gentle. He had faith. The blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, blood, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. The blood is the life of the flesh. The Lamb was killed. Christ is the Lamb of God who laid his life down, who shed his blood upon his people. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. What's Ephesians 1 and 4 say? According to He has chosen Him, us, in Him. We're made holy. We're made righteous. We're made without blame. According to He has chosen us in Him. Because we're the elect of God. Because the blood of Christ is what God sees. When He looks at us, we walk through this world in doubts and fears and worry, which is an insult to the Almighty God. He gives us faith. I need to stand in that faith. But yet God sees the blood of Christ and carries us. I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I, God, smite the land of Egypt. This day to be unto you for memorial, and you shall keep it to a feast, and there's the Passover. He gave them the feast of unleavened bread, and that would be in effect until Christ fulfilled the Passover. Moses, verse 21 of Exodus 12, calls for the elders of Israel, told them to draw out a lamb according to your families, kill the Passover, take a bunch of hyssop, dip it in the blood that's in the basin, strike the lintel in the two side posts with the blood that is in the basin, and none of you shall go out at the door of his house until the morning. First place, if God will keep these thoughts in my head, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. We stay within the walls. Second place, and more important, and more to the glory of God, in the morning, when the Son of Man come forth from the tomb. When those dear sisters went down to the tomb and the stone was rolled away and the angel said, "Why seek ye the living among the dead? For he is risen." In the morning. Stay in your house until the morning. For God was going to be busy in the night, smiting the firstborn of Egypt. Again, you see the providence of God in His people's life. We're talking about faith in the example of these brethren who walked by faith. And Paul is telling this to these Jews who knew these men by history. For the Lord will pass through to smite the Egyptians, and when he seeth the blood upon the lintel and on the two side posts, the Lord will pass over the door and will not suffer a destroyer to come into your houses to smite you. Verse 29. And it came to pass that at midnight the Lord smote all the firstborn in the land of Egypt. All the firstborn in the land of Egypt. From the firstborn of Pharaoh that sat on his throne unto the firstborn of the captive that was in the dungeon. Pharaoh upon his throne and all of his perceived power and all of his perceived glory. Look around today. Look at men in government. I'm talking about in this republic. Look at their perceived power. Look at their perceived glory. Look at the evil and corruption manifested through them. Well, you're not supposed to judge. Pardon me? Pardon me? Judge the tree by its fruit. That's all we have to judge by. God tells us how to judge. By what we see, they'll be judged just as Pharaoh was by the God of heaven. The Lord smote all the firstborn of the land of Egypt, and the firstborn of Pharaoh that sat on his throne, under the firstborn of the captive that was in the dungeon, and all the firstborn of cattle. And Pharaoh rose up early in the night, he and all his servants and all the Egyptians. There's a very great cry in Egypt, for there was not a house where there was not one dead. Let's talk about faith. We live in a time that's called the last days. Paul told us, wicked men, deceivers, shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. It's called an apostasy. The natural depravity of man is being manifested. People's conscience seared with a hot iron. There's my point. There was a great cry in Egypt because their children, their firstborn, of man and beast was dead. God killed them. God smote them. Now let me bring this down to brass facts. God did this for Israel. God does this for you. He said in 2 Thessalonians, chapter 1, seeing as a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them who trouble you. Okay? Now, that's how much God loves you. But I want to make that point. And going back to the seared conscience from a hot iron, those people wept. We live in an age today where death means absolutely nothing. Had 3 killed in Birmingham yesterday. Death means nothing. They play these games all day. Never see anything die. Never had to kill an animal to eat it. It's all convenient in the store. I've actually read where some of these squirrel-headed people believe that meat grows in the store. God forbid, what have we become? Help us, Lord, or we perish. Our conscience is seared with a hot iron. And we dwell among this people who is in that condition, who are in that condition. We walk by faith. God gives us faith. Moses had faith that God would deliver them when they put the blood upon the door, that God would pass over. Moses, I believe, had a knowledge of the coming Messiah because he tells them in another place that God would raise up a prophet among them. And that was all yet to come. He saw that by faith. We see deliverance in the last day by faith. But that day, that very day, Moses had faith that God would deliver them. We've got to stand in the faith that God gave us, that God delivers us daily and temporally in this sin-cursed earth, and rightly divide the word of truth and know that every saving and every salvation that's listed in Scripture is not just talking about the last day. For God will not leave us nor forsake us, and delivers us daily. Pharaoh rose up in the night, verse 30, Exodus 12. He and all his servants and all the Egyptians. And there was a great cry in Egypt, for there was not a house where there was not one dead. How can you deny election? How can you deny that God chose this physical nation of Israel in the Old Testament? How can you deny the spiritual election of Israel in the New Testament? And the beautiful thing is, in glory, what is spiritual will be reunited with what is physical and will be there in this body that Christ saved, seeing Him in His body, and we know that by faith. People talk about church, and why should I go to church? Brethren, if you attend a church where the true gospel is preached, you're going to be taught these things by the Spirit of God, who calls men and enables them to stand and tell you about the Creator of heaven and earth, our Lord, our Savior, our Master, our God, our King, our redemption, the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ. We come to church to learn. We come to church to love God and honor God and worship God. It's all about His glory. And He called for Moses and Aaron by night and said, "Rise up and get you forth from among my people." You catch that? "Both ye and the children of Israel, go, get out of here and serve the Lord as you have said." I can remember. Y'all are all as old as I am. I know you can remember a time in the history of this republic when, well, first of all, Christ was talked about on TV. I was thinking last night about the song we used to sing in the first grade at Norwood Elementary School. And we'll get into that next week, the text of it. Pharaoh's army got drowned. We sang that in school. They would hang you for that today. Pharaoh's army got drowned. Singing about, in the first grade, the glory of the Son of God. There was a time when Christ's name and His people, if you'll bear with me, were feared and respected because it was manifested that God was with them. We'll talk about that when we get to Rahab over here in Hebrews 11. But they thrust them out. Go, serve your God, serve the Lord. As you have said, also take your flocks, your herds, as you have said, and be gone. And bless me also. And the children of Israel did according to the word of Moses. They borrowed the gold, the silver. The Lord gave the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians. What does the Bible say? If a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. You cannot blame the wicked for being wicked. What's befallen us is our fault. It's for God's children. God's going to destroy the wicked. He's not concerned with them. They live long lives and prosper in this world. The buck stops here. I'm going to stop there. I've got 5 minutes left. But I don't have time to get into the next part of this context. Through faith, back to Hebrews 11:28. He kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. Through faith. Through faith they were saved, okay? I don't know how many of them had faith. Next week we're going to talk about the cross of the Red Sea. And I do believe that only Moses had faith in that situation. Next week we'll start with this. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, with the Egyptians saying to do were drowned. I heard some squirrel head fool of science, falsely so-called, say one time they didn't cross the Red Sea, they crossed the Reed Sea because it was only knee-deep. First and foremost, it doesn't matter to me where they crossed. God did the work. It was deep enough that it drowned in Pharaoh's army. But the Holy Spirit who penned the Scripture said they crossed the Red Sea, and that's good enough for me. And that goes back to faith, too. Faith in God, not in science.